Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. I am Reed Elkis on behalf of my client, Mr. Johnny Trujillo, the appellant. My registration number is 32516. Your Honors, Mr. Johnny Trujillo is seeking judicial review of the Board of Education's order of dismissal. Mr. Trujillo is requesting that this honorable court reverse the board's order of dismissal and order that Mr. Trujillo be reinstated with the Adams 12 five-star school district. His grounds for overturning the order of dismissal is that the Board of Education's ultimate findings of fact was not supported by the evidentiary record, and specifically was not supported by the evidentiary findings made by Judge Norwood of the Office of Administrative Courts. Moreover, as evidenced by the record, the Board of Education's ultimate findings were really evidentiary findings that flew in the face of Judge Norwood's decisions. In sum, the board's ultimate findings were not fully warranted by the basic facts embodied in Judge Norwood's decision. Now, as discussed in the statement of fact of both parties, this case is about a husband and wife that were school teachers that work bingo games to fundraise money for student trips and participants. Now the allegation, and basically I'm going to briefly summarize this as much as I can, the allegation of improper conduct as it relates to Mr. Trujillo really boiled down to two issues, the New York trip and the Rome trip. Specifically regarding the New York trip, it is alleged that the travel agency refunded bingo fundraising monies to Mr. Trujillo, and that Mr. Trujillo knew that the monies he received, the refund monies, were bingo fundraising monies, and that instead of giving that money back to the school, that he pocketed that money. That's one allegation. The other allegation is regarding this Rome trip. It is alleged that Mr. Trujillo took $3,600 of bingo fundraising money and used that money to book a trip for only his family and friends to go to Italy and not for other students. Now, despite these allegations by the Board of Education, Judge Norwood determined that the evidence did not support the claim that Mr. Trujillo was involved in any improper conduct that would constitute a violation of school policy. Now, despite Judge Norwood's findings, the Board of Education made the ultimate finding that there was good and just cause to terminate Mr. Trujillo, and that Mr. Trujillo's conduct constituted immorality, which gave rise to why he was terminated by the Board of Education. Now, it is the appellant's contention that the Board of Education made findings that were not supported by the evidentiary record. In fact, it's appellant's contention, Your Honors, that the board usurped the role of Judge Norwood by making factual findings that were not part of the evidentiary record. So for instance, this will be in the supplemental transcript, which will be found on page 9 of that supplemental transcript in the record, the board stated, quoting, where there was not sufficient evidence that Mr. Trujillo knew about the $3,600 check for that Rome trip. It was evident from the facts that there was a pattern of every trip they did a little bit more. Mr. Trujillo knew when he signed up for the Rome trip that his wife used fundraiser money. Conflicting that finding, Your Honors, is Judge Norwood, who found that it was Pam Trujillo that wrote the check to EF Education. And what is EF Education, for Your Honors, is that when they went to this Rome trip, they had to use a travel agency. The travel agency was EF Education. So Ms. Trujillo, not Mr. Trujillo, wrote a check for $3,600, which were bingo monies, to EF Education. According to Judge Norwood, there was insufficient evidence that Mr. Trujillo knew that Pam Trujillo wrote any check to EF Education to pay for the Rome trip. That is a fact that the Board of Education has to adopt. Judge Norwood also found that the evidence failed to establish a sufficient link between the improper conduct of Pam Trujillo and Mr. Trujillo. In fact, according to the findings of Judge Norwood, while Mr. Trigo was aware that he was signed up for the road trip, there was insufficient evidence that Mr. Trigo had reason to know that signing him up for the road trip was improper. The board also found that the conduct of Mr. Trigo negatively impacted the collegiality of students. In support, the board stated that the evidentiary facts established that Mr. Trigo used bingo money to set up travel for Mr. Trigo's family and friends.
Mr. Elkus. Yes. I guess my question is, isn't it more or less a common sense inference, absent some particular circumstances like a husband and wife being estranged or having intentionally separate finances, that they would have some knowledge or awareness of where money comes from and what it's being spent for?
And Your Honor, and I understand that question. I was actually preparing for that question. That was never a fact that was ever established in the hearing. In fact, what was established in the hearing, Your Honor, was that really all Mr. Trigo did was work these bingo fundraisers, was never involved in the handling of the finances, was never involved in establishing the licensing, was never involved in the setting of the trips. Basically, all he was, okay, we're going to New York, okay, great. And we're going to Rome, okay, great. He's really, all he did was just set up the chairs and just hand out the bingo games. That's really it. And to answer your question, Your Honor, where that was a fact that should have been established, that common sense issue, that is something that needed to be established, at least during that hearing. And that fact was never established at the hearing. And it's really speculation and conjecture to think that Mr. Trujillo would be aware of that. But those are not facts that are in the record. And those are the same justifications that the Board of Education relied upon when it made the decision to substantiate or support their decision to terminate Mr. Trigo, because he said, well, he must have known. But the reality is there's no facts to establish that in the record, Your Honor.
Well, pardon me, Mr. Elkus. Why wouldn't that be a common sense inference? I think that may have been, I don't speak for her, but that may have been where Judge Boris was going. Why isn't that a common sense inference? And if so, is the board allowed to make that common sense inference as a matter of ultimate fact?
Let me address it your way, Your Honor. I think the common sense inference, I mean, I think you can make, I think one would can presume that that is an inference that could happen, that if your wife is involved in some financial issues, that we assume that that would be shared with her husband. That could be common sense. But those facts were not established, Your Honor. And with respect to your question, can the board make that additional leap to make that additional finding? I think the answer is no.
What's the relationship established, though? I mean, there was probably evidence that there was that they were living together, they were sharing some sorts of decisions. It wasn't as if they were estranged or that their finances were somehow separate.
No, absolutely not, Your Honor. I think the relationship was certainly established during the hearing that they were husband and wife.
So I guess my question is, if the relationship were established, couldn't then the common sense inference be drawn from the evidence of the relationship that he might know about her activities and the nature of them and that sort of thing?
He was aware, I think, yes. I think you can make the inference that he was aware that his wife was engaged in setting up trips with EF tours or setting up trips for students, absolutely. But to go the additional step, which says he was aware that she was taking funds illegally from the bingo fundraising funds, you cannot make that leap, because I don't think that is common sense. We are presuming just because he is married to someone that means he knows for a fact that what his spouse is doing is illegal. And you should not make that ultimate determination, because that is a fact that has to be established.
Because what would happen if, for example, a husband and wife have a joint checking account, and all of a sudden $100,000 appears in that joint checking account, and the husband doesn't know where it comes from? Would there be an appropriate inference? Could an appropriate inference be drawn that the money somehow came from his spouse, and that he must have known, to use the board's term, must have known there was something going on?
Well, I think what you're asking, Your Honor, and I don't want to misconstrue your inquiry, is there an obligation for him to inquire? And I'm thinking, it seems like if there's $100,000 in the bank account, do I have an obligation to inquire with my spouse to say, hey, where did this $100,000 come from? Maybe, but that wasn't the issue that was before the board. Excuse me, that was not an issue that was litigated in front of George Norwood, Your Honors, because in front of George Norwood, there was never a allegation that he had an obligation based upon his duties as a teacher, someone that was involved in this Northland Middle School PTO fundraising, that he had an obligation to actively inquire what is coming in and out of these accounts. And it seems that my answer may be a little confusing.
Let me ask it a different way. Was there any affirmative evidence that he just accepted that these funds were being taken from the bingo fund properly? I mean, we're talking about nothing was established, but I was wondering if there's any evidence that, to the contrary, that he didn't really, that he assumed that it was all proper, that he didn't know that anything was illegal.
There was facts to that, Your Honor. I mean, there was, the only thing I could speak to, that there was these refund from this New York trip, okay? There was evidence that he received monies, refund monies from this New York trip of something around of like $1,100. And so there was evidence indicating that he thought those funds were legally provided to him. As the decision, as Judge Norwood's decision indicated, there was an individual named Francois Martin who said that money that was refunded back to Mr. Trujillo was his personal funds. And what happened at the hearing, and I believe this was included in the decision, Your Honor, is that there was an occasion where they would use the bingo fundraising monies to pay for students for their travel. But there would be an occasion where there were students, well, actually for himself, because when they went to New York, Mr. Trujillo did not use bingo fundraising monies to travel to New York. So they used their own money to pay for themselves. And for students that couldn't afford to go, they also provide payment for those students as well. When there was excess, then those monies were refunded back to Mr. Trujillo. So to answer your question, Your Honor, yes, he received money, and I think the only evidence at trial as it relates to those monies is that he was aware that he received personal funds back to him. That's it.
Or he believed he received personal funds.
Yes, I'm sorry, that he believed that he received personal funds, and actually, as Judge Norwood determined, that in fact he did receive personal funds. That was it, that those were not bingo fundraising monies.
Focus just reminding me.
Okay. At this point, Your Honors, we will reserve the rest of our time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Can you please the court? I'm Catherine Tallarico here on behalf of Adams Five Star Schools. I believe the standard of review has been established as arbitrary and capricious, so I will not dwell on that. I believe that the determination, though, that you guys are looking at right now is improper. The hearing below should not be reviewed by the Court of Appeals, and actually, I wasn't even there, so I can't answer your questions. We had different counsel present the evidence and then prosecute that case, and then we are the counsel that came in and advised the board, like Wiseman tells us to do. So under the cases such as Heimer, it appears to me that the hearing officer decision and then the board's decision based on the hearing officer's decision are the evidence that we should be reviewing. It is in light of that that I want to look at the facts that are in the hearing officer's decision that the board relied on. And there's two sets of facts. There's the drama fundraising facts, which talk about the teacher's wife being listed as fundraisers for bingo participants in the Northland Middle School PTO. And the evidentiary facts establish that bingo fundraising is intended to support the educational travel of the middle school drama students. And that's at paragraph 2, says it's the North Glen Middle School PTO was an informal organization of parents to raise money for students at the school. Paragraph 3 describes the use of bingo fundraising. And then paragraph 17 reflects a transition from one entity, a science-related entity, to the North Glen Middle School Drama Club. And then paragraphs 19 through 20 and 28 and 29 demonstrate that the North Glen Middle School PTO was participating in the bingo fundraising. The proceeds are devoted to the drama club students. There is no evidence in this record that teachers are drama school teachers or that their children are drama school students. And in fact, we know that their students are not North Glen Middle School students because, or their children, that's set forth in paragraph 35 of the judge's decision.
So, pardon me for interrupting you, Ms. Tallarico, sure. If I may, please. I want to ask you the same question that I asked Mr. Alkus.
Yeah.
Is the inference that a husband would know what his wife is doing, is that an ultimate fact or a historical fact?
That is a mixed question of law and fact, I believe, when you're looking at the morality. And the inference is made by a couple of the board members in the decision that that perhaps they knew, Mr. Trujillo knew about what his wife was doing. But I look at it a little differently. It's not the actual illegal nature of taking the bingo monies that the board was looking at. It's the fact that the bingo monies are being used by teacher and his family who are not drama school teachers. And that's why I just went through those elements. The drama school and the bingo are all hooked together. And these the teacher, the teacher's wife, the teacher's students, children, the teacher's nephew, the teacher's mother, and the teacher's father-in-law are not part of the drama school. So whether it was illegally obtained or properly obtained money through PTO, using the blank check is what I'm talking about, it was improper, illegal, immoral to go and sign up for this trip.
I understand that. But again, one of the things that the board relied upon was the inference that Mr. Trujillo knew what his wife was doing.
Yes, they discussed knew or should have known. And
I guess my question to that is, it is one thing to say that certain conduct is immoral.
Right.
But is it another thing to say that the determination of what the conduct is, i.e. husband knows what wife is doing or should know what wife is doing, is an ultimate fact or a historical fact? And that's what I'm struggling with, is what is that? The knowledge, or should have known, is that historical, or is that ultimate?
That would be ultimate. And the cases support that. The Wiseman decisions and the Wiseman elements that you consider include motive. And the Wiseman court has specifically laid that element in the Supreme Court or in the Board of Education's hands, along with determining the adversity that the conduct will have, determining the motive, determining the pattern or opportunity to do it again, the effect on the school children. Those are all pieces that the Supreme Court has felt is important for the elected officials of the school board to make the determination and the deference is giving to them. And that's the only way immorality is determined, is to look at those factors, and that's one of the factors. So whether or not they...
But that's his knowledge of what his wife is doing, or the inference that he knew, is none of those factors. It is a statement of what he knew or did not know.
It's an inference such as the one made in Blaine, where the inference was that the teacher should have known that having a drink with a bunch of cheerleaders is a bad idea and against school policy. Or the teacher in Karen should have known that improperly joking around with female students is against board policy, even though there's no policy provided to them. There's no insubordination allegation. Those are inferences that, in both those cases, the court was satisfied could be made. And in Wiseman, there was no connection between actual fitness for teaching made by the ALJ, and the court said that inference could be made too. So I believe those are things that the board could and should look at.
Well, I guess my problem is not so much in the inference about whether the conduct was immoral or not immoral because it did or did not involve drama students, but what's less clear is what the link is between Mr. and Mrs. Trujillo. Because if one teacher is engaging in some conduct that's indisputably immoral, you can't really pin that conduct on another teacher unless there's a sufficient link.
Right.
And so the hearing officer apparently found that there was no sufficient evidence of a sufficient link or evidence that Mr. Chu had reason to know that it was improper. And right. So could you identify what that evidence might be and more specifically how that evidence is articulated in the board's order of dismissal?
And by the way, I believe that those are both ultimate findings of fact that the board should set aside. But the evidentiary fact is that the teacher knew that he went on a drama student trip without being related to drama in any way to New York. And that was paid in part with bingo proceeds. That says it in the order at paragraph 23. And the teacher knew that teacher was signed up to go to Rome with himself, his wife, his son, his daughter, their nephew, the mother, and the teacher's wife's father. And that's set forth at paragraph 35. Not one of these persons is a drama student. Not one of these persons is a student at North Glen Middle School. That's also set forth in paragraph 35. And the evidence, the evidentiary facts established that the teacher knew his family was to go on a Rome trip at paragraph 44. The ALJ did find that the wife was not trying to hide the Rome trip, and that's at paragraph 41. And he also found that the Rome trip had to be changed to a Los Angeles trip because no students weren't allowed to go overseas. So we know that the intent of the trip was drama school related, and teacher knew he was going on a drama school related trip with no one but his family. And
so Ms. Tallarico, if I may ask you a question. Same result if there is no marital relationship between Mr. and Mrs. Trujillo?
If Mr. Trujillo were taking his entire family on a drama school trip with no connection to his wife but no drama students, yes. Exactly. That's my point.
Let's say they're two separate teachers, no yeah. marital relationship at all. And one teacher knows that he's going on a trip with another teacher and some students. Can you infer that the first teacher has knowledge of all the things that the second teacher has done?
This teacher knew that he was going with his family, only his family, to Rome on a drama school trip. So once he knows that, and no students. That's what the board was hung up about. So if one teacher that is not Mrs. Trujillo signed up for this drama school trip and he said, oh, great, I'm going to go with my whole family, but doesn't pay any money and doesn't, organize the trip, he can go to Rome on his own, no problem. But going on a drama school trip with no students is the problem. You have to go on a drama school trip under the intent of the drama and bingo facts that are set forth in the judge's order for drama student travel, and there was not a single drama student involved.
Does it?
The principal.
Knew that these folks weren't North Glen Middle School students?
Yeah, I wasn't at the lower level of the court, but the principal approved a few non-students using bingo proceeds for the New York trip only. But it doesn't say the teacher approved the teacher, or that the principal approved the teacher, the teacher's wife, the teacher's two kids. The paragraph says the teacher approved the three non-students to use bingo fund proceeds, and I don't know how that happened, Your Honor. With regard to the knowledge of improperness, that is clearly an ultimate fact. That's at paragraph 44. And the judge It's just the same as Flaming, where the judge decided, in that case, the hearing officer decided, the pointing of the stick at the student was not inappropriate, or the touching of the student was not inappropriate. And the Supreme Court was very clear that that is the place of the school board to decide what is improper, what is inappropriate. So those findings of fact are completely irrelevant because they're ultimate conclusions of law or mixed fact and law, which the board should set aside. They have the deference and the considerable discretion to make those determinations as to what is improper and what is inappropriate. So what the evidence, going back to the evidence, that what the board relied on is set forth in their order. And it was the fact that the teacher used the bingo proceeds in the New York trip, and then after the New York trip is let himself become signed up for the trip to New York, and with his family, his mom, his nephew, his children were going. And the board determined that there was not one scintilla of evidence in the record that showed that that trip had any educational value whatsoever, a family trip to Rome. And based on that fact that the teacher and his family members were going to go to Rome on PTO money, it's difficult to conceive of a positive aspect for educational context. That is the same holding that Wiseman made and that was upheld by the Supreme Court. In conclusion, the arbitrary and capricious standard is very clear that there has to be no support in the record. And I've provided the support in the record, and every paragraph of the decision of the Board of Director of Board of Education can be annotated back to the decision of the ALJ. Because there's absolutely, and then the deference has to be given to the Board of Directors to decide what are our high standards. When a teacher decides to go to New York, to Rome, with only his family member, that flows against our high expectations for our teachers, our integrity. With regard to the adverse consequence, again, that is, the Supreme Court has specifically stated that that is one of the things the Board of Directors has to determine for the Board of Education. And the Board of Education did make that determination and decided that based on the fact that these were middle school kids that we're going to have to look up to their teacher and are told not to cheat, not to lie, to handle things with integrity, to make good decisions, he would not be able to continue as a teacher, a middle school teacher, and he was unfit for his responsibilities.
But would your argument be different if the board found that Mr. Trujillo did not know about any wrongdoing at all? If they made the determination that he didn't know anything was wrong, would your position be different?
I don't think it's his basis of what is improper is not the Board of Education's decision about what is improper. They have to set the standard.
I understand.
If he thinks it's okay to travel to Rome with his family on PTO funds, then you know he has a very vast different opinion of what is improper.
What if the board found that he had no knowledge that that was wrong? Just hypothetically, I know they didn't do that, but
okay.
If they hypothetically found that he had no actual knowledge that it was wrong,
then he should have known. He's a teacher. He's a 15-year veteran, and he should have known that you don't travel on other people's money with your family to Rome. You just don't. You don't travel for a drama student teacher trip with no drama students. So, does that answer your question? Okay. Thank you very much.
To address Your Honor's question about the fact as it relates to the knowledge as an evidentiary fact or an ultimate fact, I believe that that is an evidentiary fact, Your Honor. It was the State Board of Medical Examiners case tries to delineate the difference between evidentiary facts versus ultimate facts. Ultimate facts involve a question of law or setting rights or settling rights and liabilities. Evidentiary facts are detailed factual or historical findings. So back to your questions, Your Honors, about this inference and what he knew, that is a specific, it's our take that is an evidentiary fact and not an ultimate finding.
Mutually exclusive?
I believe that it is, Your Honor. I think if they say that, look, he had knowledge, therefore, it is immorality. Immorality would be the ultimate finding, but you still have to find that there was knowledge there. That's an evidentiary finding. And you didn't have that evidentiary finding here. In fact, the contrary was true. The evidentiary finding was that he did not know that his wife's conduct was improper.
Strauss, could you respond to the point that whatever the wife's conduct, even if there was no link, that if he knew that he was going on a drama school trip with no drama students, that in and of itself would be sufficient for dismissal?
It's not, because the issue here, Your Honor, is that the people that go to these trips, it's not just students' trips. Under the license, the application for the bingo says, this would be paid for student trips and participants. So those monies were actually to go to not just student trips, but people that participated in the bingo fundraiser. I mean, that's what this was about. It wasn't just the funding for students to go on student trips. It was for people that would help try to raise money for students. So that's what this bingo fundraising was for. Back to Your Honor's question about, can you infer, and I think you gave the hypothetical about the $100,000 in the account, in the spousal account, can't you infer that he should know that? Well, that's a very specific factual hypothetical that we don't have here, Your Honor. And particularly, I think that may be true if these bingo fundraising monies came to their account first, then you had an infusion of cash. Where did the $3,600 come from? And then that money was spent on student trips. But we don't have that factual issue here. It was an actual separate account that was set up that Ms. Trujillo was the signatory on, that Ms. Quintavalli was the signatory on, not Mr. Trujillo. In fact, as Judge Miller found, my client had no duties, no handling of any bingo fundraising monies at all, and was not involved in any applications regarding the licensing, and was not involved in the scheduling of any of the trips. So to that end, Your Honors, we believe that there has been, that the findings made by the Board of Education were really evidentiary findings, again, that they usurped the role of Judge Redwood, and made ultimate findings that were not based upon the evidentiary record. And we ask that the decision of the Board of Education be reversed. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you both, counsel, for your arguments here this afternoon. The case will stand submitted. We will issue a written opinion in due course. That concludes our